So some of the ways that photography has been important in our life.
So in the photography world, there's actually a lot of different genres, so to speak. There is portraiture, which is the one that most of us are very familiar with. It's also industrial, scientific, advertising, commercial art, and editorial. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we are such a visual culture. Just to think more, have more of a broad perspective of what that means. And also, just to be able to, when we see images, try to think of what category, because a lot of time the category has to do with a purpose behind it. I love this little girl, man. One of the things that we think about mostly is portraiture. So senior photos, weddings, portraits of kids, families, and pregnancies. You know, the documentation and the remembering, the things that we do a lot in this period of our lives. But there is also industrial and scientific, like your medical x-ray of your little sweet baby. This is my son. Maybe that is part of his little creative log journal when he was a baby, but also ballistics, microscopic, astrological. Those are some of the more industrial scientific uses of photography. Advertising and commercial in the LA area, we are bombarded with this, right? Everything is about product, fashion, food, stock, cars, business, travel. So photography is just a huge way of communicating ideas. Also, art is its own... fine art is its own area, abstract, fine art, nature. A lot of that is more about enjoying photography, maybe going out and taking the photos and having a reflection. A lot of the stuff that we'd put on our walls. But all different genres. Like in the photography world, sometimes people get pretty snobby about it. It's kind of funny. Also, editorial and photojournalism. This is where more of our sports photography, travel, events, documentary, photo stories would be in this category. Okay, so that's kind of the first thing that I wanted to say is just photography is all around us, and it's a tool, it's a way to communicate our ideas, and so I hope that that just kind of helps when you see different areas, just to understand that there's actually also ideas that are there people are trying to communicate with what they're saying. So for the second one, I'm going to go ahead and share mine a little bit. This is my little sketch that I took with my iPhone and brought in here. When we moved from the suburbs, from the country to the suburbs, I missed building forts. So I dug a hole in the ground to have quiet time writing poetry with my cat, Dairy Cow. True story. I don't have a photo of it, but I have that memory in my head. And I associate a lot of meaning to that. I still have some of those sketches my mom gave me a few years ago, and you know, little pictures I drew and poems I wrote that crack me up, you know, my own rhyme scheme. So I want you guys to share that with each other later and just kind of also talk about what you felt. Like, why was that a moment that you chose of all, the moments that you had? Why that one? And how then can we inspire our children to have those wonderful moments and associate meaning with their memories? Okay, so the valuable moments etched in my mind forever, and you may or may not have a photo of it, but we can always associate meaning to it. So with creative photography, you can have a view of your family and create deeper relationships with your children and with your husbands through it. I would like to share four reasons today that are on the back of this paper, if you'd like to take notes, of why I think family photography is important and how we can be intentional grand memory makers in our family. So four ways I think family photography helps us is to become aware, to remember, to appreciate, anticipate, to share our lives, and to be thankful to God for his gift of family. So first of all, family photography helps us to become aware. Photography is all about light. There's the type of light. There's specular and diffuse, which is very high-key lighting, strong lighting, and then there's soft diffuse light, like which is in here where there's no shadows, right? The amount of light is very important, whether there's a lot of light or it's very low light, low-key and high-key, and then the color of light. And, you know, years are spent mastering these techniques for photographers, but simply put, light reveals what we need to see and understand. light is a literal technical factor in photography, but we can learn from the light to reveal those intentions of our hearts. And understanding more about what we see can reveal much about who we are. So we're letting the visual unveil the invisible. It's hard for me to share about the craft of photography without talking about my philosophy of life behind it. Those are two things that are very intertwined for me. Capturing great moments means that you have to be present within the moments that they occur. Moments unfold into stories, and with them, we attach meaning to life. A camera phone is simply the device, which is a totally awesome one, and I use it all the time. Very big fan of the iPhone. But it is a device that helps just to capture the creative perspective, and then it keeps them to live forever. So to capture life well means that we need to be living it well. To feel the pain, to wrestle with the deeper moments, and then to bask in the rays of light of those joyful times that we have. So both, you know, we need to feel, capture both, and allow that to be shown by what we take pictures of. So as a mom and a wife, you hold a very, very valuable place in your life. And that is that you are a grand memory maker in your family. And that's a huge title. You are what the kids are going to look back and reflect on those moments, what you help inspire and encourage, what you say, and just how you live your life. They will look back on that as a series of images and pictures in their head. Such a great, great opportunity as a mom. So the ways that you reflect on the time spent or anticipate the times to come leaves those impacts. So I would just encourage you to be intentional about how you spend your moments and then capture them. So live within them, relish them, and the byproduct is capturing them. Okay? So the easiest way to do this for me is to see life as a bulletin board. This actually is a bulletin board in our home. I throw up pictures of there of people that I want to make sure I do not forget, even though I don't see them on a regular basis, or some fun things. There's even a color wheel up there, right? As I'm wearing gray, brown, and black, you know, my daughter rejects that about me. But, you know, it's very sweet that they're learning that and they're applying it to their life in different ways. And she's helping me see a new way of living. I don't know if you guys have my daughter Emma. She has the craziest little outfits, but somehow she rocks it and makes it work. It's very inspiring to me and very different than me. But this is seeing life as a bulletin board. So the easiest way to become an intentional grand memory maker is to think of life this way. Some of the events are already up there, and some of the events in our life have already happened, but there's still a lot of space for the moments that are yet to happen and that haven't occurred yet. So what happens may or may not be in your control, but how the events unroll in our lives and how they enroll in your families is totally up to you. So choose to be intentional about everything that you do for your children. See, this pretty much sums up my little girl. She was 1.5, and she had a little clog and a little high heel. You can't tell, but those are little fatigues, right? She's rocking the camo. So being an intentional grand memory maker, when I saw this, I took this picture, and ever since then, it just still typifies her. Like, it just summarizes who my daughter is. And I love that I have this moment, because I know I'm going to cry about it later in life when she goes off to college and just say, yes, I remember, you know. But with her, photos like this and capturing these little unique things helps us to become aware of who our children are individually. This about who my daughter is. So watch the individual members of your family. Learn what's important to them, what is meaningful, and watch their interactions with others so you can learn just how to encourage them even. Sometimes we can do this in a moment, but sometimes we have to reflect on a photograph to see and to see a pattern of behavior, a pattern of interactions, you know, in order to understand that. This can be especially important for your children when they're learning to interact with other adults or other children. Sometimes the selfishness or insecurities come out in different ways. And we can notice it in a photo, like, you know, hiding behind a leg or just out there and, you know, in the middle of everyone. Those things just speak about who our children are. It's really neat to take an informal situation and use that as an opportunity to reach their heart. So As moms, honoring God with our family means that we are comprehending those insecurities, and then we can anticipate their fears so that we can help them in different ways. When we're watching their responses and their feelings, we'll be able to meet their needs more specifically. Individually, your children, just from day one, are unique. You know, even the way they enter into our arms that first moment. Freezing the moments in time allows us to consider what their strengths, weaknesses, and interests are, and allows them to pursue each one of those children differently, and your husband. We can pursue our family more effectively if we encourage who they are as individuals also. So this is one of my favorite proverbs. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Proverbs 20, verse 5. I love the Proverbs through the grid of being a mom and a wife. Like, it's just a totally different perspective, right, than being a single woman who has no, you know, responsibilities. Now that we have all of these responsibilities, we need some practical advice, right? And the Proverbs just has so many golden nuggets. So with this one, I really feel like as a mom and a wife, being able to seek to understand who our family is by drawing out their strengths and developing their weaknesses. So learning to appreciate and celebrate those unique differences of the husband and children is one of the honors that we get to have. I remember my husband liking and sharing an article about how creative people are messy by nature, you know. It got a smirk out of me. My husband is, like, really, really funny. You know, and even though he got the smirk, rather than fight it, I just was able to contain it to the workspace and call it creative, you know. So, also, my husband and my son have a personality, and they have really a unique sense of humor. And I'm a little bit more dry and very practical. And so instead of holding it against them or trying to fight it, it's been such a revealing thing for them to change my life from who they are, even lightening the perspectives and bringing so much joy. And that's helped me to encourage the proper type of humor and wit instead of just disregarding it as myself and trying to, oh, well, let somebody else deal with that, or, you know. So I've seen it as an honor to be able to acknowledge that about them and change through who they are as unique people. Also, by studying and observing our family, we can gain a greater appreciation for who they are and how they think. And again, to meet their needs just in different ways. So learning how to appreciate who they are now so that you can communicate well with them from an early age is very, very important. And lock in their trust and confidence in your love. Even when you're just meeting their needs as they're crying or they're meeting, or, you know, needing food, or those are simple ways of building trust relationships. So it's a very, very beautiful thing. So for the husbands, knowing how to treat them with respect so that they don't feel like they are one of the kids is very important. Or that they're an inconvenience in a time when we're busy with all of our other responsibilities. They're not a byproduct. They are very, very important to keep that in our minds right now. So sometimes we feel like our mind and our body are not our own at this time in our life, but it passes so fast. Just keeping that grid and that perspective and always reminding of ourselves to honor our family is very important to keep that picture in our head. If we keep in mind the reactions, conversations, and decisions that you make, you're going to be much happier when you look back on your bulletin board of life later on. So the next point, family photography helps us to remember, to appreciate, and to anticipate. So we have access to being intentional grand memory makers right now. We have iPads, iPhones. There's so much access to everything. So that's going to help us where we have been, appreciate where we are right now, to make sure that where we're going is going to be much more meaningful. Another Proverbs. Proverbs 14:1, the wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. This is a moment-by-moment decision for us as a mom, the way that we respond to our children, the way that we honor our husbands. And even just having the snapshot of this physical house, like, we can understand how an external thing, again, can reveal the internal things that we wrestle with. One thing about this proverb is the amount of the confrontation, the either-or way of looking at life. One thing is clear as moms and as wives. Wise build, fool destroy. That's very, very clear. A wise woman will take the warning of destruction and cling to God during this time of life for strength and love to be a builder. When we are in this mentality, building that house is pure joy, no matter what struggles come and no matter what happens during the day. So life is just such an adventure. The amazing part of the proliferation of devices that we have nowadays is that we have a unique advantage from other time periods where it just wasn't accessible or it only was something that was very rare. Maybe like my great-grandparents, you know, maybe one photo of them. You know, and I just think of the thousands of photos that I have of my children. So it's a very wonderful tool that we can use right now, and we have a unique advantage. And it's also hard to decide which memories to keep on our hard drives and to store up, right? So it's a wonderful problem to have. But it definitely is going to help us to remember where we were, appreciate where we are, and anticipate where we're going. So remembering where we were, you know, this is the time that's easiest for everyone. It's so easy to look back, right? Especially remember those wonderful moments when we could finish a conversation, we could finish a complete thought, or the wonderful day when our waistline was just so tiny and, you know, we fit into the wedding dress. So we notice how the kids just grow and they get bigger over time. And then, you know, when we find our significant other and we fell in love, it's just so easy to look back. But then our love just grows and grows. It just continued to grow, right? It didn't disperse or split up, but the capacity of what God has blessed you with began to actually meet its potential. So when the kids start coming along, there's more joy and more of a capacity to share your life and to grow. It's important to remember this on your darkest day and in your hardest moment. Always have a goal to remember things with a very forgiving spirit. You might blow it, yell, feel at your wit's end, but if you continue to see your family as a blessing, remembering it on your bulletin board of life is going to be full of joy and not sorrow. So appreciating where we were, but now, because of that, we can really appreciate where we are. So don't get stuck looking back and thinking what a great time you had and neglect the current moments that you have right now. Live now with that same gratitude. So that means slowing ourselves down mentally enough to stare at your baby and enjoy those sweet, cooing smiles and the grip of the hand, or even just to get a good old-fashioned snuggle. So in our family, one thing that we kind of do to lighten up the morning sometimes, especially if it's a hard morning, is steamrolling. So you just say, it started in Mount Rushmore when we couldn't get up after a long night of camping. We just started rolling over each other in our sleeping bags. So we called the Mount Rushmore Roll. And with that, you know, like it's provided a very good memory for us, but it also is a way to say, come on, let's go, you know. So you can say things in a very fun way and kind of have those memories that, you know, hopefully, I hope that one will stick. That's a pretty fun one. And also, in the busyness of our life, let our relationships be the exciting part of life. What you do is only a part of enjoying those relationships. Don't let moments become mundane. And I'm not saying fill your schedule to the brim so that you're busy all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying don't allow the activities to dictate what is fun and entertaining. Allow time for exploring those kids' personalities and whatever comes out of them. That sharing in that relationship is what is very meaningful. So a simple walk in the park can actually outshine Disneyland if you are present in the moment. And you can be an intentional grand memory maker that way. You know, this moment. I absolutely love this moment. I don't know if you guys know Jaren, but he was just walking like a crab and following this. And he was just so immersed in that moment. And it was just the most beautiful thing, you know, that was not posed whatsoever. So the reason I feel like it's important to allow photography to appreciate where we were and where we are is because of where we're going. And this is very difficult sometimes to think about, but always keep eternity in mind and always keep the fact that you will just have these children for a very small period of time. Photos remind us what's really important and then can give us a glimpse of what's coming ahead. Knowing that moments will not last forever, we can appreciate the current time more confidently and intentionally. Generational photos really help us to understand this as well. When my grandma developed Alzheimer's and dementia, our family, we decided to make her a book
So a book of memories. And we'd each member of the family give their favorite photos in here. And everybody, you know, and then a lot of people in the back, we wrote a note too. She was a camper, so this the sawtooth was always something that was very meaningful to her. And we wrote these stories. It was for my grandma and my grandpa. My grandma, because there came a point where she couldn't even recognize who all these people were. But when we told her that was her family, she felt confidence and just a sense of peace, knowing that, just believing us, what we said. She didn't know it herself, but she believed that personal connection. So this was something that also was for my grandpa, because I knew he must have been struggling with not being able to recognize who his wife was and having to lose that part of him. You know, like, it's pretty funny. Sometimes she would say, "I don't know who this handsome guy is, but he keeps saying he's my husband, so I'll just go with it," you know. And it was so cute. But this was something that now that she has passed and gone to glory, he can look back on this and just have such a beautiful picture of, you know, what their life was and who she was and the most important things to her, which was family. So that is also something that we always really need to keep in mind, that we're here for such a short period of time. We really, really, truly are, even though it doesn't feel like it in some moments. So as hard as it is to think about, we must always consider that our children need us in these small moments. How we treat them will gain or lose their trust just in seconds. If we are humble before God, we could build these lasting relationships with them that'll just continue for the rest of our lives. So I did this backwards, so I'm going to go to share first. So the next part is the family photography helps us to share. Proverbs 17:27 through 28 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." This is one for me that I've always clung to, because my mouth just sometimes goes, I feel compelled to say something. And, you know, I'm learning as we are sanctified. But as a mom and a wife, this is so important, because those little snide remarks or those limited expectations or those things that we say but we really don't mean but we're just frustrated, that can tarnish our trust with our relationship. So as a mom and a wife, just having always a visual picture of the end, of where things were, so that right now where we are, we can allow that to penetrate our hearts. Talks about understanding the intentional words, the intentional nature of our words. When it comes to sharing, we can share in lives of others more effectively by being understanding, because our lives are intertwined. We all long to make those emotional connections, and we want to be a part of other people's lives. And, you know, it's easy to share our lives when it's convenient or comfortable with us. But this verse really digs deep into our hearts as a wife and a mom. Because we are sharing our lives with our husband and our children. And having that cool spirit of understanding can just lighten the darkest moment. Okay? So I wanted to talk a little bit about good sharing versus bad sharing. Good sharing of photos builds relationships with others. One way we have been able to share in the lives of others is by sending our photos. It's a simple thing, but I found this especially helpful in the lives of my in-laws. We have a physical and a spiritual difference, and a lot of times that makes it very difficult. But by sending photos on a regular basis, it's really been a way for me to bridge the gap without words. Also, for my other grandparents who are not believers, we made a book for their 50th wedding anniversary. And it was just a way to show them love and to share in their lives. Again, very similar to the other grandparents. But most of the family on this side is unbelievers. So I was able to put some verses in there, you know, and just to share in a visual way really has made a lasting impact, because it's something that they could continually go back and reflect on and see. So that is some good sharing. You know, printing out photos and displaying them around our house, or if you go somewhere with your friends, print out some photos and pass them back to your kids' friends, you know, so that they can look back and remember. Lighthouse is really good about that. I love, like, all those photos that we get from the kids' ministries, you know, the years and years, they're still up on our walls somewhere, you know, bulletin boards, refrigerators, you know. So that's really special to me. That's good sharing. Also, printing them is important and backing up your photos, which I know you guys know. So a little bit about what I've gone through in the last couple of years. I had a pretty major back surgery, and it changed the course of my life, which God is doing a beautiful thing through that. It took me away from my teaching and more of the photography, but it brought me on the path of homeschooling, which I'm very thankful for. So I'm teaching in a different capacity, you know, filling my kids' heads with more creative knowledge, and I think that they, you know, feel like they need to know. But it's really fun. But through that, I documented my journey of going through the hospital and, you know, really feeling isolated and alone in some of those moments with my iPhone. And then later, I dropped it in the ocean. Like, my first trip out after my surgery, I dropped it in the ocean. I'm, like, gone, you know. So I have about one or two of those images. So just, it's really important to back things up, and we know that. But also sometimes understanding that it's not the physical picture that can also make that memory. Back to our original icebreaker, where we can still have those in our heads. And those visual pictures can still dictate the joy that we can have in our lives, and even just knowing what we have been through. So that's my big warning to you on that one. But, you know, it doesn't negate the experience, but it is nice to have a visual backup, right? So bad sharing sometimes can be very selfish, bragging, oversharing of our kids. We don't need to analyze our motives for each photo we take. That's not what I'm saying. But it's really important to consider sometimes why we share what we share, especially in such a online world. But more importantly, even than just sharing physically online too much, I would say is don't ruin your natural moments. Like, allow the natural moments to be spontaneous so that our kids can understand the joy of living freely. Because if you stop in the middle of a moment just to post a photo, you know, not take the photo, I'm talking more about, like, posting the photo, they don't understand what you're doing, right? Like, just that you are what you're doing just became more important than the moment. So make sure that the moment and what your kids are experiencing always remains a priority, you know. And that's just hard. I mean, I just say that because I've gone through that. I'm like, oh, wait, just a moment. Let me send that to Grandma. And they're like, okay, you just ruined the moment, Mom, you know. So I'm just sharing what I'm also guilty at. So one of the biggest dangers I think we face today is sharing our most intimate moments of our children. We can easily lose the trust of our kids if we embarrass them too much or don't take their thoughts into consideration. What might be okay for you really might not be okay for your kid. You know, they might be a little bit more insecure, or they just might not want you to share that moment that was between you guys. Why do you want to go, you know, share it with somebody else? So just keeping that in the back of your mind. I think the easiest way to prevent this is just to set boundaries for your family. Decide what you want to share and then hold each other accountable for it. I'm constantly taking photos for all sorts of reasons. It's intuitive. I'm documenting accreditation for evidence for my homeschool, so I take pictures of their projects and where we go and what we do. You know, if we go to a museum or something, or a field trip, because I want to remember these sweet moments. But one day, I was taking a photo of my son doing something kind of goofy. He rolled his eyes, and he's like, are you going to put that on Facebook, Mom? And I realized, you know, that my husband and I had had the discussion previously about what we will or will not do, but I actually didn't share that with my kids yet. So I had not told them that they could trust me to protect them. I actually needed to say that with my words. You can trust me to protect you, to protect those intimate moments, and that I will not embarrass you. And, you know, because of that, he received a confidence in my love, and that I was just protecting those most private moments, and that I was just enjoying them for what they were between us, not having to share it. So I'm thankful about getting them involved early, and that he trusted me enough also to articulate that. Because soon, just this summer, he came with an idea called Build and Share, which is really cool. It's a virtual pen pal space online that he could share, like, artistic inventions and artistic things you do with other kids, like our cousins who live far away and our friends who live far away. And even sometimes when you just know that your friends have something cool, but you just don't get to go over to their house as much, or, you know, you don't want to take your Legos in the car, make that rule early, you'll lose them. But, you know, it was really cool seeing that he had such a positive outlook interacting on the web that he could come up with an idea that was willing to share in other people's lives in an appropriate way. It starts really early. Really get that nailed down. What you want for your family and what you want them to know. It's never too early to start saying it. Even practicing on those little ones, right? Just get used to saying certain things. So I'm very grateful for some of these conversations that have happened naturally and that have just made sure that I articulate that directly to the kids because I want them to be able to trust me. So family photography also just helps us to be thankful to God. And I know that seems obvious because we always feel like, oh, I'm just thankful to God for what I have. But in those quiet moments, I think sometimes we're not. How we respond to things, it reveals our heart. So I like stopping from time to time and asking God to take a snapshot of my heart. I think it reveals my attitude towards my families. Many times I get stuck in my own version of myself and then controlling what I think life should look like, what picture I want, what photos I want on that bulletin board. But there is just a wonderful, superior, and transcendent version of what he wants for our lives. And he's already given it to us. We just have to access it. The picture of what he wants for our life and understanding it allows us to truly be thankful to him for our family. He is very concerned about how you raise your children and how you honor your husband on a day-to-day basis. In each word, each reaction, each heart attitude, you have the honor of drawing your children to Christ by revealing his love to them. And it's all through your leading. It's being that grand memory maker. You have the opportunity to shower your husband with respect and honor in these small moments by allowing God's gracious love to support him. I love reading passages like 2 Peter 1:3-11, if you guys want to follow along, otherwise if you just want to listen. And this is a little long, but it just really hit my heart that I wanted to share this today is how can we do these things? How does what I say kind of practically apply to our lives? So 2 Peter 1:3-11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Again, as a mom and a wife, like, what does the Bible mean to us? I think it's so rich now. It just becomes more and more rich the more opportunities that we have in our life to share. You know, the first kid came along. It changed my life. But I thought that, oh, am I going to have to share my love or split my love? No, it just kept growing. And then the next kid comes along. Am I going to have to split that? No, it just keeps growing. And we are beginning to meet to the capacity of what God has for us. It's just a wonderful thing. Like verse 4 reminds us that what we have come from, what we have escaped the corruption that is in the world from the sinful desire. What an incredible hope that we have. It contrasts what we were to give what gifts his spirit makes accessible during each poopy diaper, runny nose, and screaming child moment and experience. We forget these things sometimes, that God has given us a power through the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of the child in those moments where we just feel like we're out of control or our life is not our own or things just aren't what we expected. We need to just shed that and always remember that his expectations for us are so much greater and they're available to us every second of our lives now that we have hope in Christ Jesus. So Verse 3 said, he has granted all things for life godliness. Verse 4, he's granted us the precious and very great promises that we are partakers in the divine nature. And 5 through 7, wonderful words that he has chosen to describe us right now as accepted in his love, his faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And God has plastered this picture of you all over the bulletin board of your life. Okay, God has an incredible version of what type of wife and mom he has made you to be. And through bringing you alive through his son, now you have the undivided attention of these sweet little kids every day and your husband to look to you to be that conduit of his love. In a world where relationships get broken, where trust is very hard to find, this is a very beautiful honor that you have been given each moment. But you must grab a hold of them by believing that what he says is true. Because in verse 8, there's that warning that if we forget his promises and don't seek that power of his spirit in our lives, what can happen? So I think, again, bringing it practical, what does that mean to us now? The best way to be honest about God's snapshot about my heart that reveals my attitude towards my family is to ask some practical questions about things that I've struggled with. So when I get frustrated because my daughter won't stop crying, many times I feel like I just really want her to get to be silent. So a question I can ask myself, am I going to lovingly hurt with her or disregard her pain because of my disdain for it? Build trust, tear down. Build your home, tear down your home, right? When I get frustrated, or when my chronic pain inhibits my schedule and my projects get put on hold, am I trusting that God is working in my life or feeling sorry for myself that I have to surrender all these things I worked so many years for? Do I love my husband for who he is and not grumble about the differences when I'm inconvenienced by them? Do I honor him in front of the kids when I don't agree with him? That's going to be something that's going to be huge in your life. Simplest little ways, the look, the tone, all those things. The kids catch on to that so fast and they'll use it against you. Is loving my kids more important than my standards of behavior for them? Am I concerned more with what God wants their heart to look like or what I think they should be acting like as we stumble through the grocery aisles? You know, how hilarious that can be sometimes when you end up at the store like 6 o'clock, you know? Still, you can love them. You can be very honoring to them in those situations. These are not the type of snapshots that I would want to hang on a frame in the wall, put in a book, or post on a Facebook page, but they are the reality of what happens in my daily routine. The snapshots reveal the type of constant need for God to change us through his word and to trust and to claim those promises that he's already given us by faith. So we have to ask God to reveal our limited love and replace it with his unlimited love. So seeking our own way, it isolates us from our family. It puts us in our own self-absorbed world, and then we justify our selfishness. I feel like I deserve to do this or that. I don't know if you guys have ever said that, but you know, that's come into my mind quite a few times. And I think it's isolating. And God's view of what he has for each of us is the completed project. Our view, ourselves, is so limited, but we have to constantly just believe and trust what he has already given us and what that completed project is in our lives. He has the unlimited overview shot of what he wants for us, and he hasn't left us alone. We're not alone in it. He's already done the work, and he's already given us a spirit, so now it's just us trusting that we are never alone, and that his spirit will grow us in grace. So he gives us all those promises like those we discussed in 2 Peter. So, in closing, I'd just like to encourage you, even from the youngest age, just to see what your kids see. Get down on their level. Look at things the way they look at it. Take the time. It doesn't matter. Let the dishes go for a while. Sit. Enjoy what they're talking about, what inspires them, what makes them excited, and see life through their lens, not our own. First God, and then theirs. So learn to love what your husband loves, appreciate the details of his life, and authentically be involved in his life. You know, because this is building trust. So isolating will either build wedges and build a distant relationship, but including each other builds trust. When we make these type of intentional decisions, we can be the grand memory makers because we can confidently fill our bulletin boards with the loving memories. So when my son was 3, he got some sort of pamphlet from the school I was working at because we had a speaker, like a Cessna pilot, come in and share. And he's looked at the pamphlet. He's like, I want to fly one of these. And I was like, sure, every little boy wants to fly, right? And so he kept that pamphlet. He kept coming up to me and saying, Mom, I want to fly in a Cessna. I want to fly one. And so after, like, a lot of reoccurring comments, even he would pick a coin up. You know, of course, my thing was, well, we'll save money for it. So he went over and he finds some coins, you know, on the ground. Mom, put this in my Cessna jar. I'm just like, okay, kid, we got something here. And he completely changed my outlook on raising kids. You know, at the time, I was teaching art to high schoolers and junior highers, and then I would come home to toddlers. And I loved it because it was like where they began and where they were going. These kids were just here, completely dependent. These kids that are completely dependent will soon be here, trying to find and seek their own independence. So it was really a beautiful thing to always keep my perspective going. Like, okay, don't be so hard on these kids. They were just here, right? Okay, encourage these kids and don't let them get away with things because they're going to be here really fast. So by Corbin sharing this with me and being so persistent, he actually opened up this whole new world to us. So for his 3rd birthday, he flew in a Cessna. He actually got to physically, like, grab the, you know, the pilot, let him have a lot more liberty than I probably would have let him. But, you know, that changed his life. And every year since then, instead of a birthday party or something, he's flown in a different airplane. And, you know, it's been such an awesome opportunity because we've gone to air shows, we've gone to air museums. He has books where he studies about flight and he talks about lift and threat. It's insane, you know, and it's just such a beautiful thing because I never really paid attention to planes. I'd been in them. But now, like, he has such this intimate knowledge, you know, and it's just, it's an opportunity. Instead of me trying to force on him what I think his life should look like right now, it's organically developed into this passion that's really just spilled into our family vacations and our museum times, you know, a lot of our goals. So last year and this year, we've done a unit study on flight. Well, and my daughter as well has kind of jumped into that. This is my daughter, Emma. She loves her boots and her birds. Always have a pair of boots for her. Right now it's pink cowgirl boots. Our birds has become quite an interesting thing, which actually has gone along with Corbin's study of flight, because really, it's very similar. So this summer, we went on a road trip. It was also a year celebration for my recovery from my surgery, and we went to a bunch of national parks, and it was on various regions of the United States. So we went to the South to see some family and friends, the Midwest, the Northwest, and then back down. And through it, we started documenting all these birds. Did you know how many types of birds there are in the world? Because I never had a clue until she taught me. So we got out our camera. They listened for the sounds. We went and chased them. I mean, we had so much fun. In all these different regions, there are different birds. I mean, it's insane what I now know about birds and planes. But it's given us something to do as a family that if I wouldn't have listened to her and I wouldn't have taken the time, I wouldn't have just seen this incredible perspective that she brings. So, again, a visual photos, it's amazing what you can do, and it's not that hard, right? It's just so easy for us nowadays. One other thing that I helped my mom with, so my mom was a missionary overseas for a very, very long time, and so Britt and I went over and helped do a missions trip for a while with her, but she wrote a book about her journeys and shared about some of the good times and hard times. Mom and I fell through the floor. It's funny, she actually did fall through the floor when we were visiting a hut one time. So anyway, humbleness kind of brought her a nice opportunity to share a funny story in a unique way. But I was able to help her with the photos too. So there's just so many opportunities to share our lives with others, to always be looking and seeing what can we do with what God has given us, and just to be thankful for the unique ability. So, you know, last one just to think of, we could just have his peace. Like when I look at this photo, this was Brent. He's like insane nature photographer. Actually, the first time I saw his work, I knew I wanted to date him. He wasn't about his sense of humor, which I've come to love, but it was his art. Because I was like, if you can see like that, there's some deep stuff going on there, right? And that was something that drew me to him. So his photography just really reflects like this timeless nature, right? Like this, and it always makes me think of how, as a mom, sometimes we just get so short-sighted, but God has just given us this amazing perspective as being a Christian, as being a mom and a wife, that it is the most honoring thing that we can do to allow our kids to have, to develop, to live a life full of joy and love and peace that is authentic and that is first directly from God and then through you. So that's the end of my time. If you guys have any questions, do we have time for that? Or okay, if you guys have any questions, it could be technical, it could be about anything really.
When you're taking those natural pictures of your kids, how do you deal with hiding the camera?
Well, with the iPhones, it's really easy. Even if you have a DSLR, the kids can become so immersed in what they do. If you don't make a big deal about it, they don't notice you. So a lot of times, like I said, I get down on their level. I'll get down with them on the floor. And if they're doing something, you just kind of lift it up and click, you know, because those are more reflecting moments of who they are. I typically don't do, like, the standard school photos. And, you know, I probably should, but I prefer to remember my daughter like this, you know, where it's just that who she is that comes out. And so, honestly, I don't think the kids will notice, you know. If you go, okay, everybody stop right now, stop this moment, and I'm going to take a photo, you know, then they're going to notice and they're going to, or, you know, my son has already started that, so I had to lay off for a while so I didn't get the snarl, the sneer. Yeah, so, you know, I think that is, if you're kind of quiet about it and just kind of sneak in there and just be a part of what they're doing anyway, they won't care. Yeah.
But do you have a recommendation for, like, a small, lightweight SLR that would capture it quickly? Because I don't like the iPhone, because I don't take pictures. Mm-hmm. So I get grainy or I get blurry photos. So
I can probably email you a couple different things.
Something like lightweight.
Yeah. So you want to have something fast. I know, actually, those smaller point-and-shoots are harder to use, right? Yeah. The iPhones or the professional cameras are what I use. The in-between make it very difficult. Yeah. So I know that if you like Canon or Nikon, there's some more lower-end, like handheld. They're pretty small. They fit your hands and, you know, tuck away in your diaper container. Anything probably that has, like, a resolution or with a megapixels above, you know, 8, you're going to get superior pictures with nowadays. It's actually, again, technology is really easy. You can go to one of these local camera stores, and they will totally let you know what you need. I know Silvio's and Paul's, you know, my husband works for a lighting company, and he, you know, sells, or they distribute his product, and both of them are very good local companies that can also not only assist you, but give you some technical assistance when you need it, and you're, you know, so you could also go put it in your hand and see what's right to you, because that's different for every person. Like, a lot of my students always use Nikon, very good low light, you know, cameras, but they're counterintuitive for me. You know, I know, so I'm a Canon user, but basically just get it in your hands. So if you go to a store like that, or even like a Best Buy, or I know Costco even has some, that's the best first thing to do. So, is that helpful?
Yeah, because my husband does.
Yep.
Like,
something a little smaller. Yeah, yeah. So maybe like a Rebel, even, or in that Canon Rebel. Yep.
What are some major differences between the Nikon and the Canon?
Oh, nowadays it's mostly the low light, the ability to take pictures in low light, but there's not a whole lot of.
Canons are good for like people and.
They say that, but it all comes down to still your lenses, because your lens usually has more to do with that nowadays. Yeah, if you get anything that's come out in the last 5 years, the standard is set. Like, all it's getting is better. Even the larger format cameras are struggling in their sales now because the middle cameras are becoming so high-end. So between Canon and Nikon, it's really just a matter of when you hold it in your hands, how do you want the dials to turn? And do you need low light? Like, a lot of theater and concert shooters use Nikon because it's so forgiving.
Sorry, another question about the Nikon. So we have a Nikon, and I don't know if it's similar. I'm sure they have all the same presets, but you know how they have action kids and auto. What do you recommend keeping it on for kids?
Auto is probably easy. I set everything manually, but if you wanted something quick in the moment, read your things. Because if you're outside, you're going to want something that has a faster shutter speed. Like, if you take a picture of anything that's running fast, you want to be shooting at a faster speed, which is why you have that setting, because it'll make your shutter speed shoot at a rate where it captures it and it doesn't blur.
And how many presets?
Your camera manual is actually really, really helpful for that. Oh, yeah. I know it sounds funny, but I know it's really, really practical that way, because it could show you some of those things, because each one of them has, like, the action shot you would want if all the kids are, like, running around, maybe having a water gun fight or a Nerf gun fight. Like, you're going to want to freeze that bullet in action, right, in the air. So that's why you would want to use that preset. If you were using nature, if there's, like, a nature preset, it also has to do with, it's all about the shutter speed and the aperture, the amount of light that's coming in, and the rate of speed. Those are the two things together. So each one of those presets is actually, it does it for you, so that you don't have to, like, say, oh, I want to freeze the action, so that's why it's important. Okay, here, freeze the action. People, it might give you an aperture where it kind of blurs out the background, so, you know, you don't have, like, a stick coming out of your head or, you know, stuff like that. So if you don't
see, like, the action of the kids is basically the same thing.
It could be very similar. Action might be a little faster because it's thinking probably like basketball, soccer, you know, kids, maybe they're just thinking playground, swings, you know, so yeah, just at the rate of speed that you're setting your shutter speed on would be higher. So anybody else? I'm open to any questions. It doesn't. Even about a mom, or being a mom.
How often do you go through your pictures? Like, do you upload them to your computer?
You mean go through, like, organize? Or?
Yeah, like, organize or, like, rate or, like, you know, like.
Yeah, not often enough. Usually Christmas. But it has to do with my in-laws and my parents saying, Kelly, it's been a while. So I've tried to get a little bit better about it. But for my work stuff, I have a system. For my kids' stuff, unfortunately, it's called Family Folder. It's not as organized. But ideally, what I would do is if you have something like Lightroom and you could put in your metadata, you could just, so you can go into the metadata, and for that series, you can actually rename them if you want, like batch rename. So you grab them all and go batch rename and say, Christmas 2014, boom. So that whenever you go into your computer, you could say, I don't know when that was, but Christmas 2014. I know that the time period. There's also keywords that you can, if you're more of an organizational person that way, you can go the keyword route. So I tend to title my images, rename them, and just put them away so that I know. Like, that's my horrible system. But work-wise, you go in and you have different categories of types. Like, what the genre would be, so that I say, oh, I need this, and then I go there. And then you could put keywords in. So, again, if you have Lightroom or something, you can, or if you're just searching in your computer, you could say beach, friends, you know, and if you had a couple keywords, it'll help bring it up. So, yep.
Can you suggest a good way to download photos easily through either iPhoto or Lightroom? What's easier? How do you back?
I use, for my iPhone, I let them go into iPhoto because it's so convenient. It just comes up as, oh, this is the date and this is the place. You know, like, in my phone, it has the metadata on there. That's been really nice. But I use, like, Adobe Bridge just to, and I also use an online server that I share, or I save some of my photos with in again in genre. When you're bringing them in, label it. Always label it. If you can rename your words too, like anything that gives you the most specific, accurate thing that you could do. Don't just let it be a series of numbers, because that will not help you whatsoever.
I feel like it's time for us to get a new external hard drive, and I don't know which one to get, because, you know, we have a few, and I just want to keep them all on one
external. Yeah, well, it's difficult to keep them on one external, because technology, they still could go bad. I mean, if you have a RAID system or something, but that's, like, ridiculous. Like, usually that's what pro photographers do, where they put them on four different hard drives, you know, simultaneously. But I would at least put them on two places.
Oh, the same?
The same photos, two places. Yeah, because one of my hard drives, even, I went to go look. It was Corbin's birth, so, you know, almost he's eight. And some of the files are already breaking down.
Oh. Yeah. And do you ever store them on CD? I know it's not typically the best. But
you know what? It's not typically the best, but it's safe. Right? I mean, the only thing that can happen is scratching. It won't actually break down. So that actually, DVDs, online servers are probably that ultimate ideal thing, but it's you're paying for space. So I would say when you're holding your phone, delete the photos there. When you're holding your camera, delete the photos, the extras, and only keep the good stuff to go on the hard drive, because it's only going to take up more and more space. And then just make a system and stick with it, whether it's putting them like a family folder and then putting them by year or by event, whatever it is that your brain uses to keep that categorized, those would be the best things to do. But don't keep junk, and always back stuff up, you know. Anybody else? Lacy hard drives, by the way, are really good. They're pretty solid now. Mm-hmm. They're on the forefront of the external hard drives.
Would you recommend the kinds that you don't actually connect, the wireless ones?
I don't have that, but, you know, if you go and read some of the reviews, there's so, I mean, every semester, right, or every quarter, there's something that comes out that's a new release. So it does just keep getting better and better. The cloud, if you could put your favorite of favorites on the cloud, that's really, you know, Amazon servers, they've got that set. You know, those aren't going down, you know. So that kind of, DF Studios is who I use, which, you know, it's for industry professionals like Warner Brothers and whatever, but it was one of my husband's clients, and so, you know, they gave us a free account. But I loved it, because you could put your medium-res JPEGs up there, and they're always accessible, and anytime I want to share or anytime anybody wants to grab it, I actually just send them a link, and they can pull it down from the server, too. So that's something like that is really helpful if you have family that's far away. And also, it's just really nice knowing that, like I said, those servers are not going down. Like, there's enough money that's kind of following that is safe. So, not too much, not for an entry level thing. And also, you know, that Apple has the cloud, right? Yeah. So that one, I would always say definitely back it up. And if it has to be CDs, let it be CDs. You know, there's no shame in that at all, unless CDs become obsolete. But, you know, I still have stuff on VHS that I'm like, what am I going to do? You know. So. Anybody else? Or are we over time? Okay.
Do you end up printing out a lot of pictures? Do you like scrapbook, or do you just make like online, you know, like the photo books?
The photo books, I've used Blurb, and that's been really neat because if my mom wants to order one, she could order one. Like, you actually make an account, a Blurb account. The production and the archivalness of it, the paper quality is really great. It's not going to break down. I mean, you could use Shutterfly, but I just don't know how archival the paper is. I know that they try to be more competitive, so it always, you know, is getting better. But Blurb, the colors are really great. They have the pro and the amateur level, so they meet both markets. And when you put the book up, anybody can order it. So, you know, and that's been really neat. I'm not as good with my family stuff, I gotta say, like my own personal kids. I print some stuff and I put them on the walls, and my daughter, because she asks me, I've been getting better about it. But usually it's for all my other family for some reason. Is that funny? The photographer, the kids. Like, my kids' baby books are not completed. I have to admit that with shame, you know. But, my daughter is getting me there. So,
About photo books, how can you tell if the quality of the paper is good?
You just look on the...
There's, so many different companies.
There is. You go for the most reputable ones. Walgreens. Yeah, I'd stay away from Walgreens from the books.
I mean, some places they can do it print within an hour. Target, and then there's Costco that takes a week.
Costco actually has pretty decent printing.
They do.
Yeah, that's the one place. That and then Paul's Photo. I recommend those two places locally because they do a good job with their color profiles. It's all about a color profile. It's embedded within the photo, and then it's whatever they use. So, you know. Yeah, but any Wink Flash is a good one for family stuff. Snapfish. Is that right, Snapfish? No? See, I don't use it, but I hear people who do, so I'd recommend it. But Blurb, hands down, I can recommend that with confidence. So. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't, don't make any of those places an archival place for your photos. I definitely would recommend against that. Use your own backup system. No. Yeah. Always have a backup. Yeah. That's not my idea of archival. Okay. Sorry. The cloud is not Snapfish. So, okay. Anybody else?
Well, thank you, Kelly.
All right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
So we have